Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, live from Cubs Convention, it's Inside the Clubhouse with David Haw, Bruce Levine, and Ryan McGuffey on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Cubs Convention at the Sheraton Grand, downtown Chicago. I'm David Haw, back inside the clubhouse with Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey, talking baseball 9 to noon like we do every Saturday. Today, wondering who's a bigger deal here, Sammy Sosa or Kyle Tucker? Good morning, guys.
What's going on, David?
Good to be back, Bruce.
Guys, this is the best show we're going to do all year and the most fun one, so I'm really looking forward to the next 3 hours here at the Sheraton live with the Score. If you're in the area, come on by. We're anticipating a great show. Fill us in, Dave.
Come on by, get Bruce's autograph. He'll do a selfie with you.
It's already happened.
It's already happening.
He's signing cards over
here. Bruce is a celebrity here. He's a celebrity every day, but this is going to be fun today. All right, let's set the table. We have an interview with Sammy Sosa. We did it last night. We'll get to that in terms of our impressions. Bruce, we're going to play that at 10:40. 10:40, you don't want to miss it. Until then, Justin Steele, 9:30. Kyle Tucker, 10:15. Tom Ricketts, the chairman and owner of the Cubs, 11 o'clock. And if that's not enough for you, Crane Kenny with maybe some updates on some very important things Cub-wise at 11:30. In between, we will talk about the Cubs offseason. Jed Hoyer addressed it on Friday on the afternoon show, said some very interesting things we'll hear from. And most of all, we want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. Call us, text us, let us know what you think as the Cubs embark on an offseason that I think carries a sense of urgency. Let's start there, guys. Let's get your impressions of where the Cubs are in this offseason, because when they gather at the convention, you see the enthusiasm. Yes, people are here for Sammy Sosa. The first time in 21 years he's been back in the fold, but there's a lot of excitement because this Cubs season carries that sense of excitement and anticipation. What did you hear from Jed Hoyer, Bruce, and what did you think about the direction he said the Cubs are headed in 2025?
Well, they're short in the bullpen still, so they're going to continue to build the bullpen. They're going to continue to build a bench, which was I talked to Craig Counsell, and we had our first argument of the year, which is a kickoff to the next 200 to 300 arguments that we have about having the worst bench in baseball last year. I thought it was among the worst out there. He took exception to that. Then I said, well, when your key man, with all due respect to Patrick Wisdom, is Patrick Wisdom, and that's your weapon coming off the bench late in games, as great of a guy as Wisdom is and as great as a teammate he was, it showed how weak their bench was. You know, he was their one prayer to hit a home run late in a ball game. And, I asked Counsell, I said, how much difference is a bench? And he goes, I said, well, I'll get in trouble if I talk about that because that's who I was during my career. And mm-hmm. I said, well, you proved my point. You know, you have to have great bench players. You played on two world championship teams. So, you know, again, he lost that argument.
Ryan, Craig Council kind of set the bar at 90 wins by saying this wasn't a 90-win roster, and that's what you need to compete in the division, to be the favorite in the division, and what you should expect in Chicago. So in some ways, he helped us define where the expectations are and where the bar is as we head into the season.
To answer your question, I'd say urgency is what I hear. Mm-hmm. Now, fans might be saying, well, I don't see it, right? Like, they got Kyle Tucker, but they traded Cody Bellinger. But we hear the president of baseball operations tell you, point blank, I'm not done yet, that there are reinforcements coming, that there is going to be a bullpen arm. They are checking in, as Bruce has reported, on Alex Bregman. They're checking the market. He said that January 15th is kind of the new December 15th. That's frustrating for all of us who cover this sport. That is frustrating. Right. You would wish there would be some kind of week-long free agent frenzy like there is in the NFL and NBA. But what I hear in this room at this convention is that they are done rebuilding. They want to compete for this 90 wins. They want to be the leader in the NL Central.
So we heard from Jed Hoyer. So instead of kind of characterizing what he said, let's hear from him directly, at least in terms of how it relates to what we should expect and where the bar should be in 2025. Jed Hoyer on Friday's afternoon show with Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes. This is what he had to say.
We're not done. We'll keep on supplementing the roster and keep looking for ways to upgrade. And for better or for worse, in my opinion, for worse, like these off seasons of this, they just drag out now. I mean, there's 100 plus players still on the free agent market, a lot of good players. And so it used to be that Cubs convention, we were a tweak away. Sometimes you're almost done this time of year. That's not how it's evolved. Now it just takes forever. And so, yeah, there's definitely more additions on the way before we get there. And it's a really early spring training this year too with Japan. I mean, I think we're heading out there the 8th or the 9th, and it feels early, which is kind of fun.
So, Bruce, he says we're not done yet. Additions on the way. When I hear that, when fans hear that, they think Tanner Scott. They think big bat. They don't think depth piece. They don't think bench reinforcements necessarily. What do you hear and think when you hear that?
The number one guy, and I haven't got them to commit as to whether they're in on him or not. The number one guy, the game changer off the bench, your new Swiss Army knife would be Jose Iglesias. He is one of the best shortstop, third baseman, second baseman in the game.
Interesting.
He hit, hit 340 in a part-time role with the Mets last year. I think Nick Castellanos last week said that playing the Mets, that Iglesias was the most impactful player on that team, according to him. And, again, when I talked to both Hoyer and I talked to Council, I said, you know, in the old days, teams built from the back forward, meaning you built your bullpen and you built your bench in November, okay? And by Christmas, that was all set. You were maybe waiting on a couple other big pieces. That's not the case anymore. You know, these important moves like Tanner Scott and Iglesias, people like that, that's going to happen for a team, hopefully like the Cubs, the next few weeks leading up to spring training, only 3 weeks away.
No one wants to be patient, right? No, fans don't want to be patient. They want to come here and see the new toy. And we've seen that with Kyle Tucker. We're going to talk to him here in a little bit. But I'm looking here. The Cubs signed Cody Bellinger last year on February 27th. So while people don't want to be patient, we heard Jed Hoyer in that soundbite say, look, there's 100-plus guys out there. They're why be the team that runs out there and says, we'll give you 4 for $70 if you think, hey, you know what? No one around baseball is picking up the phone to call you and sign you for that right now. We're going to monitor the market too.
You mentioned the Swiss Army knife, Bruce, and that would be definitely a useful piece that you don't necessarily have. But when you look at this Cub roster, which isn't quite a 90-win roster, as one of our texters, 312, points out, still not a 90-win roster. They're the Chicago Cubs. They should be blowing the doors off every team in the NL Central. What is their biggest need? Is it closer? Is it another starter? Because the big news yesterday around baseball, Roky Sasaki signed with the Dodgers. Not a huge surprise, but the Cubs were not a finalist, but they did make an effort to sign him because they still saw the need for a starter. So as we sit here today on January 18th, what is their biggest need?
They need a closer, okay? They need a veteran closer. They have one in development right now who is very, very good at the end of the year and may be one of the best in baseball. But you can't count on that if you're going to
– Porter Hodge?
Yeah, no. You can't count on that. You can't count that that's going to be it. He was for, you know, 20% of the season. He was certainly that. And, you know, the reality, I think, is this. You need to have a roster that you look at. If you're going to be a very good team and not be a great team, you have to be very good 1 through 26, okay? The first team that comes to my mind when I said that over the last few years were the Milwaukee Brewers, okay? They had no superstars. They had really good players, and they all played complete games of baseball, okay? They were ball players. That's what the Cubs have to be. You have to have that kind of team. You can't have two bench guys that are useless, two bullpen guys that are useless. You know, and again, I think Council does as well, if not better than anybody, getting the very most out of players. He just had some players last year that couldn't play.
The Cubs blew 26 saves last year.
See,
that's your answer.
That's what I can't get past.
26 saves, yeah. And 13 in the ninth inning. And while I do, if you look at Porter Hodge's splits, especially in August and September, they're eye-popping. But you can't depend on a 23-year-old who is still developing into his own career in that role right now. Because the Cubs are talking about 90 wins, 90 wins, 90 wins at nauseam. They need to get in the dance, and they need a reliable arm, to Bruce's point.
Ryan, you had an active week on the Recap YouTube channel, and yeah. You talked to Tom Ricketts, you talked to Jed Hoyer. When you talk to them about baseball issues, not necessarily big-picture spending issues, which we will spend some time discussing later in this show, what do you sense, what did you get the impression that they believe is the biggest thing missing from this team for it to feel good about winning the division? And it's not just winning the division. You're in Chicago. You are the Cubs. You should think bigger. Winning a World Series or getting to the World Series.
Yeah, I think what I learned from that is that getting into the dance is most important. They both brought up other sports, NFL and NBA, how the top dogs usually advance in those first rounds. And we know that's not the case with MLB. It's just not. I mean, 2 years ago, the Diamondbacks and the Cubs fought all the way to the final week. The Diamondbacks weren't hot going into the playoffs. They choked it away a little bit down the stretch, and then they get hot at the right time. That's what they're looking at.
Just get in, the March Madness philosophy?
No, it is. And again, people are probably – the text line is going to blow up. That's going to be frustrating. It's just get in, spend the money. How many times have we had a Yankees-Dodgers World Series?
Listen,
none. That doesn't happen all the time.
Based on how long it's been since they have been in,
it's
I believe in just get in.
Me too. It's been – I mean, they haven't won a playoff series, guys. Well – since 2017.
Look, the philosophy has to be that because they went after Tucker for 1 year and they gave up three good ball players for him. One of them might end up being a superstar,
Cam
the
Smith.
Number one pick from last year.
Yeah.
Right? So with that in mind, you don't make a trade for Tucker like that unless you're thinking about winning in 2025. You just don't do it. You know, you hold on to Bellinger because you already had a good player. You have an upgrade in Tucker. Ideally, if all your money is right, you keep both, right? Well, you didn't keep both. So now how do you add on to that? Do you hope that Bregman, falls through and you have the ability to put out a lineup with two World Series champions in Bregman and Tucker.
312-644-6767. Let us know what you think about the Cubs' biggest need as we head into the season. We are at the Cubs convention live from the Sheraton Grand. This is Inside the Clubhouse. David Hall, Ryan McGuffey, Bruce Levine. We're talking to Sammy Sosa later. We're going to talk to Tom Ricketts later. You want to be here until noon? That's how long we will be here. 815. I hear more of the same arrogance from Jed. Can you ask him if you hired a meteorologist yet for 2025 since the weather is why they can't make the playoffs?
Oh, well, Wrigley Field play. Yes. Well, first of all, that to the Texer 815. You know, meteorologists are right about 50% of the time. So if you want that kind of, if you want,
so are we.
Yeah,
so are we.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Bruce, I
that's a good week, Cuff. I mean, like,
I don't. Yeah, it's a great week. I don't think. I don't feel the arrogance from Jed. I don't. People might sit there and say, well, they're not spending on the big ticket. And it's frustrating that they're not in the Juan Soto sweepstakes, but very few teams are. The Cubs, I think at this point, to kind of go back on your question before last year, David, I think they need to get in this year. I don't think there's – and I think that's ownership down. I really do. I think that's the message. And it started back in October when Craig Counsell said, we need 90-win teams. You brought in the highest-paid manager ever in the sport.
Yep.
He has probably a larger and louder voice than any other manager maybe in the game. And the team now has to follow his lead.
But why did you bring in the best manager in the sport? Why from a team with a small market with a small payroll, why did you bring him in? Did you bring him in to run the Chicago Cubs as a small market team? Or as the best manager in baseball, we have the resources, we'll plug them in when it's
maybe
necessary.
Both.
In the meantime, we're a small market team that's trying to do things the right way without spending $300 million.
I think that's an interesting point,
that
Bruce,
is.
In question, because when you look at the lineup as we sit here this morning, if they had to open next week, they would have four young players developing prospects, if you will, that Craig Counsell was hired to get the most out of. PCA in center, Michael Bush at first, Matt Shaw at third, and Miguel Amaya behind the plate. Now, you could look at those guys and say, yeah, with the right manager, Craig Counsell, you're going to get the most out of those prospects, and they're going to meet their and reach their potential. Maybe exceed it. But you are using a lot of hope. Hope's not a plan. It should not be a strategy.
Right.
And yet there's a lot of hope when you look at the Cubs in 2025.
Well, when I'm looking forward to talking to Tom Ricketts, it's the charge that he gave to his new president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer, in 2020 when he replaced Theo Epstein with him. And the fact that, hey, you guys did great. We won a World Series, went to the playoffs 4 years in a row. We have no farm system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jed and Carter have built a good farm system. It's not to the point where they want it to be right now. They've had some bad luck with starting pitchers. Okay. They haven't. We've seen a little bit of a show of what they can be like, but they haven't stayed healthy. So with that in mind, you know, where are we at 2025 as far as the farm system either producing players, which they have some, or, again, being part of trades to bring in the players that you need to win?
I heard words in the last 2 minutes on this station, luck and hope. That's not two words I want to hear for a team that you're trying to win a World Series with, luck and hope. So to me, now Jed's saying publicly, right, that they're not done yet. They need to not just bring in an Iglesias to me. An Iglesias is a nice addition to a team trying to get in the dance. They need a stud closer. They need another stud before this thing's over.
Before we get to the phone lines, I want to ask you a question on the news of the week, which was, I believe, Kyle Tucker and the Cubs avoiding arbitration. $16.5 million, a bargain for your best player, a player who's likely to be an all-star right fielder and one of the best players in baseball if he lives up to expectations. It is a rental, or appears to be just that. But what is the value in terms of keeping your best player happy, a guy that you're going to be negotiating with maybe, ideally, in the offseason? What's the value, Bruce, in coming to terms with the guy and avoiding arbitration?
Zero to me.
Okay.
I mean, less than zero, because they all know by this time Tucker's been in the league for 6 years. It's a business, okay? There's no hard feelings for about $2.5 million. The hard feelings will come from Houston, who he already went to arbitration with once and never got to a long-term contract. That's a hard feeling, okay? That's why they got rid of him for the last year. They weren't going to be able to sign him. They weren't going to sign him. And they were going to get the very most in players back for him, which they did. So, I know it's a sexy topic.
Yeah.
I just – and I hate to make, in my mind – you know, for radio purposes and conversation purposes, you want to make it interesting. But
no, we got plenty of things to talk about. Well, Ryan, I'm not manufacturing
Ryan
anything
and I
here.
Talked about it last yeah. week, and it was
it was sexy when you talked about it. But it's not now.
I don't, but I think it was sexier to bring up as a topic. I'm with Bruce. I just don't think at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Next year, when he's a free agent, Kyle Tucker is signing the largest contract that he can get from whoever wants to give it to him, whether it's the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Mets, or somebody else. He's going where the biggest price tag is.
Yeah, can't disagree with that.
The hurt feelings thing is like, I think when the guys are 6 years into their career, they've seen so many disappointments for people, you know, and they realize, hey, we're not all best friends. We're not playing for our best friends.
Yep.
We're playing for our families, our careers, the team that we happen to be on at that time.
Let's squeeze in a phone call. Mitch is in Byron. Mitch, welcome to Inside the Clubhouse. Go ahead.
Yeah, you guys put on a great show, and I look forward to every Saturday listening to it. I just want to say that when you talk about what the biggest need is heading into the 2025 season, to me it's the health of Dansby Swanson and Nico Hoerner. Are they both going to be 100%? And maybe then we can kind of put a kibosh to the ridiculous Nico Hoerner trade rumors that keep popping up. But, yeah, I just want to know where the health is for Dansby and Nico. And to me, you win ball games with defense up the middle and performance – offensively from those positions, and I'll hang up and listen to what you guys have to say.
Mitch, that's a great question. Bruce, Friday on the Spiegel and Holmes show, Dansby Swanson revealed that he's been hurt for the last year and a half. Where do you think he is health-wise, and how important it is for him to realize and recognize when he needs a break in 2025?
Well, I think he played about 145 games each year. Here's a guy that played 162 for all of his career, and that has not been the case the last 2 years. So there's a lot of getting used to with Dansby. A lot of it had to do with the fact that he came here under a 7-year contract, and he had to try to play up to it.
So we have a guest on the way. We're going to take a quick break and come back, and when we do, you want to stay here because we've got Justin Steele is making his first start for us, and he'll be back when we get here after the break on Inside the Clubhouse. We are live from the Sheridan Grand at the Cubs Convention, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. there's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Swag and a miss, strike three. A breaking ball fooled Miguel Sano. So far, 3 strikeouts for Justin Steele and a couple of shutout innings.
We're back with a special edition of Inside the Clubhouse, live from Cubs Convention, with David Haugh, Bruce Levine, and Ryan McGuffey on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, live from the Sheridan Grand at the Cubs Convention. David Haugh along with Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey here until noon talking baseball with you. And it's a pleasure to bring in our next guest and guest on The Score, brought to you by the Circus Sports Illinois. Visit CircuitLasVegas.com. Cubs ace Justin Steele joins us. Justin, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
What's the best part for you about the Cubs Convention and how have you gotten more used to the attention and just how has your stature changed year after year?
Yeah, my first one, I was definitely blown away the first CubsCon I came to. I didn't quite realize how intense it was, but over the years I've slowly gotten used to it, gotten better and better at it each year. But now I really look forward to coming every single year, you know, seeing the new teammates, seeing the old teammates, and then obviously seeing the fans and stuff. It's always fun.
Established as one of the top pitchers in the game now, how do you look at yourself differently? I mean, I get the pleasure of dealing with you and your teammates almost every day for 200 days. And, you know, you're one of the most regular people I ever met. How do you not get distracted knowing that you are one of the top players in the game now and that, you know, you've already earned something?
Yeah, well, I mean, I appreciate that. But it's for me, it's just remaining consistent and always, you know, looking forward and trying to continue to get better, because this is a ever progressing game. So like, if you just try to be complacent and sit still wherever you're at, you know, you don't want the lead to catch up to you. So you kind of always have to be adjusting on the fly, whether it's pitch to pitch, game to game, facing the lineup over and over again. So there's just different adjustments you kind of have to make through the course of your career in order to, you know, remain relative.
My favorite moment last year on the Cubs season was June 29th against the Brewers when you came off the field jacked up. And I know after the game that you kind of poo-pooed it a little bit and you apologized because you were like, I know people are watching the game. But at that particular time, that team, your team needed a spark, and it came from you. And I think sometimes it's either overblown or maybe it's not, and that's why I want to ask you, that the team takes on the personality of the manager, or there's just not enough fiery guys, there's nobody flipping the table over when it needs to be. What's the balance there? Because you guys are together every day for 8 months. What's the balance when you feel like you need a spark, and why do you like to be that guy that steps up? Or maybe you just kind of did it unconsciously.
Yeah, it was, I would say it was unconsciously. I don't like being that guy. I'm not an angry person. I usually am pretty happy-go-lucky. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like at that point, you know, I feel like, you know, as a whole, as a team, management and everything, we kind of felt like we were underperforming, not playing as well as we were capable of playing, how good we knew we could play. And it had been going on, and, you know, I was guilty of it myself. There was plays I could have made, you know, pitches I could have, you know, done better on and stuff. So I was kind of saying it to myself as well. It was more so just like a, hey, we all know we're better than this. We know we can play better than this. Let's start proving it to ourselves. You know, let's stop, you know, hanging our heads low, just pouting about, you know, whatever the reason is that, you know, things aren't going our way. Instead, let's just kind of take some action.
But does a team need that, like, do you need a guy to be that guy, or does it?
I mean, we're all adults. It's hard to say like who needs it and who doesn't. But you know, for me, I needed to blow off some steam, sure. So I needed to blow up.
We're joined by Justin Steele here inside the clubhouse at the Sheridan Grand at the Cubs Convention. Inside the clubhouse with David Haugh, Brian McGuffey, and Bruce Levine. Justin, you've been part of this organization since 2014, drafted in the 5th round. That was a long time ago. You have grown up here and now ascended to the point where you are the ace of the staff. As you have gone through each different iteration of what a Cubs season should look like or should feel like, what's the right context to put this one in? There feels like there's a sense of urgency amongst fans. It's been a long time since the last playoff appearance, a long time since the last playoff victory. Do you sense that urgency, and is it appropriate?
through the team, obviously there's an urgency to play well. You want to come out swinging and stuff. But I think back to when the guys before me were around, you know, the Lesters, the Arietas, you know, Rizzo, Brian, all those guys. And just I remember showing up to spring training, and we knew we were going to be good. Like every single year, you know, guys like Darvish, Kyle Hendricks. I mean, it was hard not to be good with that good of a roster. But it was just like we knew we were going to be good. We knew we were going to be in a good place, you know, at the end of the season and stuff. And I feel like that's kind of what we're feeling around here right now.
Last year, you guys, starters are pitching outstanding almost the entire year. It was uncanny. Some people say it was the ballpark. I say, you know, it's just really good pitching. And then, you know, the bullpen blows up in May and June, you know, a lot of blown saves. The bench is, you know, not really great all year. As a player, not as a reporter or a fan, you want to be supportive of every single guy, and you guys are. But are there points where you take your player hat off and go, man, we're just not good enough?
I mean, through different parts of my career, especially through the minor leagues and stuff, when things are more developmental based, there's points that you kind of face that where it's like, man, this team is more development based right now than rather than just trying to win at this level right now. And I mean, you see that in the big leagues sometimes. There's some teams that are, you know, in a rebuilding phase and their top level isn't quite that great because they got guys underneath that are surging up and that they're going to end up making the team great at the top level. But yeah, to answer your question, I mean, everybody, you know, through the course of the season goes through up and downs, and you know, whether you're a player, fan, front office, you kind of just want to remain supportive because, right. I mean, going through the course of a whole season, you know, it's very tiring, very taxing. So you just got to, you know, do your best job to keep your teammates' heads up.
But to your point, you see first base developing, center field developing, third base developing, catching developing. You know, you just don't fall into the major leagues and you're a great player. So is there frustration watching PCA going from automatic out to one of the top young players in the game? I mean, does it take a lot of patience to wait for your own teammates?
For me, no. I've had zero problem with PCA. I love watching him just fly around the field, playing freely as he wants. It's really exciting. It's fun to watch, and he's one of those guys you don't really want to tell him to dial it back in any sense of the word. You want him going balls to the wall in the outfield. You know, whether it's laying bunts down and turning it into a triple somehow, it's just he's just that kind of player. You just kind of want him to go out and play the game he plays.
23, you guys came up short. It felt like around Labor Day weekend, you guys were locked for the playoffs and it just didn't work. Last year, hot months, cold months, never really took off. Knowing what you just said about you've kind of starting to feel like this is a year of different expectations, how much are you fueled by the postseason? And do you watch the postseason? Does it irk you at all to see there, like, damn, I want to be there?
Honestly, I really don't watch the postseason a whole lot. My wife watches more of it when it's going on, and I'll just kind of like walk by the living room and she's watching and stuff. But yeah, it's one of them things, like I really don't really care for it unless I'm pitching in it. And when I do watch it, it's kind of aggravating because, you know, I feel like we have a good roster, I feel like we have the right things in place. And, you know, the past two seasons, it just hasn't gone that way. And so when I'm watching, I'm like, I feel like our team should be out there, you know, putting our talents on display and stuff. So, yeah, it's there's definitely an irk there when I'm watching playoff baseball and stuff. And, you know, it just fuels me to want to be out there. And, like, when that moment does come, just take advantage of it.
One of those guys you see regularly in October is Kyle Tucker. Now he is your teammate. What was your reaction when you found out the Cubs were getting Kyle Tucker?
I was really excited. I actually I pitched against him, played against him a ton in high A in 2017, Myrtle Beach. So I got to see him at a young age, just how good he was, how talented he was. And, I mean, it was probably not even 2 years later he got called up to the big leagues at a really young age. So, yeah, I was able to see him pretty early on, and then what he's done at the big league level has been incredible. So it's obviously very exciting to get to play with him.
As media people, and we hear it from fans a lot too on this show and on our station, people ask, how do you value a manager? How do you decide, you know, why Craig Counsell is considered the best manager, one of the best in the game? How is that impact on you guys this year? How much of it was adjustment for him and you guys to get to know each other? You don't just fall off of the back of a truck and you're automatically friends and together. What was that like?
Yeah, I can only speak for myself, but for me it was a really pretty easy transition. As soon as we met, I feel like we hit it off. He kind of had a perspective on me, and I kind of had a perspective on him from playing against each other and stuff. And, you know, once we met and got to know each other, it kind of clicked right away, and it's been super easy for me, so I can only speak for myself when it comes to that.
If you go out there and shove six or seven innings, eight strikeouts, you give up an earned run. Last year, for whatever reason, the back end of the bullpen just had inconsistency. There was 26 blown saves, I think 13 in the ninth. Change that. Win seven of those games, you guys are in the postseason. Jed says, well, I'm not done yet. How important as a starting pitcher, and I know with all due respect for all those guys in the back end, but they all have roles, maybe some were pitching out of their roles last year. How important is a shutdown, lockdown closer when you're talking about, you know, as a starting pitcher?
I mean, it just seems like, you know, when it gets to playoff time, World Series time, I feel like everybody's hyper-focused on the bullpen and getting to the bullpen. Like, once they get past the starters, they got to deal with this, this, and this. And it becomes a very vital part of playoff baseball. And especially when the bullpen's locked in at that time of year, it becomes a real weapon. You know, if you have one guy that you know for a fact is a shutdown inning, yeah, and then another and another, if you can just get those first five innings covered, it just makes the game move a lot smoother for a manager, pitching coach, just everybody. So, I mean, that kind of answers your question. It's, yep, just like it's very important once you get to playoff baseball, so you kind of need it during the
Justin Steele, final few moments here on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. So I read somewhere how important and special the number 21 has been, mm-hmm, to you and your family. You wore it in high school. Your dad wore it at Alabama. It goes back to your great-grandfather, I believe.
Yeah.
So last night when number 21 for the Cubs hopped on stage and received that ovation, what was that like for you, and have you had interactions with Sammy Sosa?
Yeah, I met him yesterday. It was awesome meeting him. You know, Cubs legend, obviously. Grew up watching him hit a ton of homers and stuff. My dad's here. It was really cool for him to see him and stuff. But yeah, 21's obviously very important. And when I got to the big league level, they were asking me what jersey number I wanted and stuff. And I was like, well, 21's my favorite number. And they were like, well, it's like, you know, not, it's like, it's not retired, but it's like, don't really want to do that. So I was like, oh, yeah, 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 Sammy, duh. And I was like, 35 is fine. I'll do that.
Shota Imanaga, what did you learn from him as a teammate, as a professional? And he said so many nice things about you and the other players that he got from him. But was there any negatives at all from this this guy? What a year.
I know. There really wasn't any kind of negative anything about Shota this year. What he did, I was really expecting him to pitch this well. Like, when I watched his first bullpen in spring training, I believe it was me and Jordan Wicks were watching it together. We were blown away. We were like, how is anybody going to hit this? And it kind of, you know, flourished throughout the course of the season, and he just pitched really well the entire season. And, you know, I mean, it was just fun to watch. The All-Star game, just everything. It's every start day for Shota was must-watch TV.
You've made 87 starts. What's your favorite? Do you have one?
Probably my complete game. If I had to guess, that was something I'd been wanting to do for a long time.
So we talked about Kyle Tucker avoiding arbitration with his deal with the Cubs. It was also an anxious week for you to do the same thing. How would you describe what you went through this week?
Yeah, it's always super anxious leading up to the date, and usually doesn't start unfolding until like the day of. So it was kind of just that week, you're just thinking about it nonstop, just thinking they're going to call, but they never do. They always wait till like the day of or the night before. But it went smoothly. We came to an agreement and stuff, and then on to this year.
A baseball player has only one career, one family, hopefully one or two teams in his career. How do you get around not having a long-term deal right now and just concentrating on moving forward, knowing that a lot of guys in your position right now do have those long-term deals and do have that security for their families for the rest of their lives?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just important to keep putting your head down and keep going to work, regardless of what the situation is. I got to go out there and pitch, and if I continue to go out there and perform and pitch, I'll continue to put myself in a good spot.
Now, the hardest question before we let you go. We know you're a college football fan. What do you think about the college football playoff, and who wins Monday night?
I would like to see Notre Dame win, honestly.
That's a popular answer around here.
I would like to see them win. I'm not quite familiar with the spread is. I imagine Ohio State's favored by a little bit.
They got
a really talented roster. That wide receiver they have, if he was in the draft this year, it'd be a for sure first rounder. But it's going to be fun to watch. I think Notre Dame will surprise some people.
Justin Steele, thank you for being here.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Enjoy the weekend.
Enjoy your weekend.
When we come back here on Inside the Clubhouse, we have a lot more to get to. Kyle Tucker coming up at 10:15. The Sammy Sosa interview you want to hear at 10:40. Tom Ricketts at 11. Crane Kenny, 11:30. Stick with us right here inside the clubhouse. David Haw, Bruce Levine, Ryan McGuffey, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You know, when you hear your name associated with an organization like the Cubs and with players like Billy Williams and Andre Dawson, Ryan Sandberg, I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah.
It's pretty humbling and special.
We're back with a special edition of Inside the Clubhouse, live from Cubs Convention, with David Haw, Bruce Levine, and Ryan McGuffey on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Thank you to the Marquee Sports Network for that clip from Derek Lee on Friday night, talking about his induction into the Cubs Hall of Fame. David Haw, Bruce Levine, Ryan McGuffey here at the Sheridan Grand. We are live on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce, we are both voters in the Cubs Hall of Fame, and Derek Lee and Sammy Sosa deserving of that. I thought Derek Lee looked like he could still be batting third in the lineup last night when he talked.
Yeah, you know, the rarity of being a terrific ball player and one of the finest people you'd ever meet, that was Derek Lee. You know, for me, just, you know, like any job, there's people you look forward to seeing every day. He was one of them, just, you know, one of the great players and the great people to deal with. I'm happy he got this honor because he really didn't play for the Cubs all that long.
Not that long.
Yeah.
No,
seven seasons.
Right.
Long enough
right.
to make an impact.
Impactful ones.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that stands out the most for me was not anything he did on the field, but in the dugout where when Carlos Zambrano came after him and his – shocked reaction of, dude, I mean, you could read in Derek's reaction, you're my teammate.
Right.
What the hell are you doing here? Right? And it's like, he was not intimidated by Zambrano. Zambrano intimidated a lot of people because of his size and his anger. Right? Derek was just, dude, this is contrary to everything we do in this game.
Plus, he's a pretty big guy himself. Conventions are times to look back at the past and to celebrate guys like Derek Lee and Sammy Sosa.
They're also interview at 10:40, by the way, for those listening.
Yes, 10:40. Sammy Sosa, yep. You want to be yep. here. You don't want to miss that. Looking ahead, though, there are also opportunities for fans to look at the future and maybe even complain a little bit. Somewhere near to us, Jed Hoyer is addressing Cub fans on a panel, and he was booed. He was booed when he was asked about Alex Bregman and didn't have an answer that was satisfactory. Ryan, how much do you think the Cubs need to get Alex Bregman, and what do you think of their pursuit of him, if it indeed you can call it a pursuit?
I like the check-in, but I don't think the Cubs need a six-year, $150 million contract with Alex Bregman. So do they need Alex Bregman? Yes. Do they need them on their terms? Yes, which is why you keep checking in. We've seen how these markets go. Bruce, you know more than anybody. These markets, they go in big, 6-7 years, $210 million. And then it's mid-January and spring training complexes are starting to open. We're taking video of trucks leaving for Mesa. And Alex Bregman's sitting at home training by himself. There is a little maybe of a prove-it deal, which is why I like. I understand.
Cody Bellinger last year.
I understand why Cubs fans are booing because they didn't like the answer. What do you want Jed to say? He can't legally, without tampering, go out there like, yes, we are pursuing him at 2 years, $35 million. If he does that, he plays his hand, the Cubs are out.
Bruce, what is the latest, as you understand it, with Alex Bregman?
Just waiting for them to get off of 5 years. I mean, right now they're talking to Detroit and Boston about long-term deals. They haven't heard the numbers they wanted to. He was originally offered $156 million by Houston for 6 years. You know, that comes out, you know, just a little bit over $25 million a year. I think he and his agent thought they were going to get $200 million on the open market, and it hasn't happened.
Speaking of free agent pursuits, Friday night we both spoke to Tommy Hotovy about the Cubs falling short of getting Roky Sasaki, who was not did not make the Cubs a finalist. He ends up with the Dodgers. Huge surprise there.
Yeah.
The rich get richer. I don't know if that's good for baseball or not. But how serious do you think the Cubs were in their pursuit of Sasaki? Did you ever think that was a real consideration? And what do they do now? Do they have to respond to that loss with a starting pitcher, either trade or free agency?
Yeah, I mean, I think a trade would be more likely. I don't think they're going 4 or 5 years for a guy like Flaherty at this point. It seems like, I'll get back to your original question in a second, but it seems like 1 and 3 year contracts are together now, 1 year with two options, or five or more.
Right.
There's 4 years doesn't seem to be a part of the equation for guys. You know, they would rather have the money uploaded, you know, at the beginning of the contract, make a lot for the first year, have options to get out in the next two. And I think that's probably more realistic for some of these guys. The Cubs would love those because if you look at the Cub roster, there's nobody committed to a longer-term deal than the next 2 years other than Swanson. That's not a mistake, right?
No, not at all.
I mean,
but you're also plotting for guys like Kyle Tucker extensions, guys like Justin Steele who just joined us extensions. So I understand that people don't. Here's the thing: the fan in me said Juan Soto's available. Give him what he wants, right? And the Mets finally did. 15 years. That's going to suck in year 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We just heard Jed said there's 100-plus free agents, right? 100-plus free agents. There are going to be multiple one-year deals to big-name players. The Cubs should be checking in on everybody right now.
Right. But I don't think they look at starting pitching as being as big of a need as another veteran bat.
One.
But one what? Like a depth
one,
piece or a guy?
One power arm.
Okay.
So that's a guy.
Is that guy a veteran who's an unsigned free agent now or a guy who is – in their organization, but has had health issues.
You can't.
Like a Ben Brown or a Cade Horton.
Could it end up being Max Scherzer?
Wow.
I mean, you know, does he have anything left? Do they need him? If they're going to – they have depth.
I like it.
They have depth in starting pitching. Do they need him to throw more than 20 times?
Luck and hope. I don't like luck and hope. I don't like it.
Guff is Mr. Luck and Hope. And we will come back and talk more about luck, hope, and maybe an offseason strategy. Who are the Cubs going to pursue? What is their offseason going to look like? And we have a lot more. The first hour is done, but we have two more jam-packed hours to go. Kyle Tucker at 10:15, Sammy Sosa at 10:40, Tom Ricketts at 11, and Crane Kenny at 11:30. Keep it right here inside the clubhouse from the Sheridan Grand on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.